together, our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus. This morning, we ask for clarity in our understanding, insight in our hearts, as touching Holy Ghost meetings. We receive enough instruction and information to function effectively in the things of the Spirit. We behold Jesus, your Son, as he sees us in him. He is glorified. We are edified. Amen. Matthew 28. We have been learning Holy Ghost meetings by precept and by example. And then we said that in Matthew 28, we're looking at Holy Ghost meetings by precept and by example, the things that should be there and the things that should be done. Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 19. It says, go ye therefore and make disciples of every nation. Make disciples of every nation. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe what things soever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, unto the end of the age. And so, we have Jesus given to the 12 instructions. He says, all authority is given to you, or given to me, pardon me, and I, therefore I'm instructing you to go and train people, make them your students. And one of the things that we have come to learn in Christ, right, pay attention, are the things of the Spirit. The very first sermon after that was recorded was on the day of Pentecost. And the day of Pentecost, you know, last week, if you remember, we looked at who can be surprised or make jeers at certain things that are done. And we said, that fellow, most likely, is someone that wasn't well taught, or is an unbeliever. Remember that? Okay. And so, we said that it means that, now, the things of the Spirit, which we call the supernatural, depending on where you grew up, the things of the Spirit are taught, and they are also caught. Now, that's how someone like Kenneth Hagin taught people like me. They are taught and caught. Caught in the sense of you have to see it happen. And last week we looked at seeing. Can you remember that last week? Can you remember last week? To see. You see it happen. Also, you are taught. In 1 Corinthians 12:1, Paul says, now, concerning spirituals or spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Say, for he said that they were carried away by dumb idols and so on and so forth. And then he says in verse 3, now I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse. And no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Then it says in verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Difference of administration, verse 5, but the same Lord. Diversity of operations, but the same God, which worketh all in all. I wish that verse 6 was split into two, but let's leave it for today. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, verse 7, to profit withal, or for the common good. In other words, there's a teaching to the things of the Spirit. There's a teaching, there's an explanation. And so, when Jesus said to them, that his disciples, and he says, go and make disciples. In other words, the way they became his disciples was by teaching and precept. You saw that last week. He taught them, then he also showed them. They saw him heal the sick. Then he says, go and heal the sick. So there was a teaching, And there was also the practice of it. Are you still there? Are you still there? I said, are you still there? Come on, talk to me. Okay, that aside, we also, quickly, let's just go over some things. We also looked at the different kinds of meetings that are in the church. The first one, and the primary one, is what again? The teaching. The teaching meeting is the primary meeting. In fact, it's the main course, if you can allow me to use that word. Because he says in verse 18, all authority is given to me, verse 19, go therefore, Matthew 28, and teach. Teach or make disciples or train people, make people to learn. And he told us how you're going to make people to learn in verse 20, teaching them. And so we said that every minister of the gospel is a teacher. There is no ministry gift that stands out called teacher. No. Everybody is a teacher called to teach. And I've showed you that numerous times. And also, was it last week that we looked at preaching and teaching? Was it last week? Was it last week? There is no difference in preaching. Preaching is the communication. Teaching is the explanation in the communication. I've said that to you many times. To go over that again and again. So, the first and primary meeting in the church is teaching. And you'll discover that in the ministry of Jesus, listen carefully, he taught about 65 to 75% of the time. An interesting thing was, much of his audience were not even saved. So again, it's not totally correct to say that, oh, you know, to the unbeliever we preach, to the Christian we teach. No, I've used those phrases before, and they are incorrect. So, you teach. In fact, he says, go to the nations and teach them. That's what he said. In verse 19 and 20, Matthew 28. So, the teaching meeting is the primary church service. That's why, in Acts 2:42, the Bible says, and then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine. What was the doctrine? Peter led the doctrine. When he preached, quoting Joel, Acts 2, I'm just rehashing the things we've said before. Acts 2, 15, 16, 6, 17, 18. Then he began to talk about Jesus from salvation, verse 21. Then he began to speak about his death and began to quote David most of the time. He quoted David from verse 23, I believe, up to verse 30. Then he quoted David again in verse 34 and 35. And so that's the apostles' doctrine. They taught from the scriptures. Then he says, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. Okay? Now that's primary. Then we said, after that, what do we have now? Huh? What do we have? What kind of meeting again? The prayer meetings. The prayer meetings. Because they continued in the apostles' doctrine and prayers. And we said also, if we don't know, if we had no idea of what they were doing on the day of Pentecost, we know we have a fair idea. Acts 1:14 and 15 says that they continued in prayer and supplication. Acts 2:42, in prayers. Acts 3:1, Peter and John went up to the temple to pray in the hour of prayer. So say the hour of prayer. Every church must have its hour of prayer. So there are prayer meetings. A church must have times that we pray. Here in Saints Community Church, we pray every day. In the morning, 4:30 a.m. We've been doing it for 10 years. 4:30 a.m. Now, also, we pray every day in the church services. We call it the prayer groups. That's the hour of prayer. So if you're well taught, you should be found in such meetings. Secondly, prayer meetings. The third kind of meeting again. I've said it so much that you should be flowing. What do you call it? Evangelistic meeting. What kind of meetings are that? Where we go to the unsaved with the gospel of Christ. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Mark 16:15. What happened, for example, on the day of Pentecost? When Peter lifted up his voice with 11, Acts 2:14 is evangelistic. Acts 3, when that cripple was healed on the beautiful gate, that was evangelistic. So they flow from our prayer meetings, they flow from our teaching meetings, evangelistic meetings. We'll go to the world. And evangelistic meetings will have side by side with it what? Healing meetings. What do I call it again? Healing meetings. Where we pray for the sick. Where we minister to the sick. We saw many of that. Acts 8, 5 and 6. Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ. And many that were taken with the pastors were healed. Demons were cast out of people's bodies and many that were sick were healed. Evangelistic healing meetings. Evangelistic healing meetings. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:15, he that believes not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow. Verse 17, them that believe in my name, they shall cast out demons, they'll speak with new tongues, they'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick. Verse 18, and the sick shall recover. Can I have an amen here? So we have those kind of meetings. Then we have another kind of meeting, which we call the Holy Ghost meeting or believers meeting. Now that phrase was coined by Kenneth E. Hagin. And rightly so. Why did he call it Holy Ghost meetings? Because these are the kind of meetings where the Spirit of God is giving room, pay attention, to demonstrate himself through believers. Now, in the teaching meeting, believers are listening. They can ask questions, no doubt, but they are listening to somebody's teaching. In the prayer meetings, of course, we are all praying. Somebody's leading, right? Now, we are all praying to the Lord. Okay? In the evangelistic meeting, we're taking the gospel to the unsaved. The unsaved should listen. In the healing meeting, we're praying for the sick. Usually, one or two persons is praying for the sick or laying hands on the sick. But you see, in a believer's meeting, it's as though we are all functioning in the same capacity. All the believers in there, by the Spirit of God, begin to minister to one another. Or minister to the Lord as well. And a typical example was right there on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. I need your attention now. Now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, in one accord. Pay attention. And there came a sound, verse 2, Acts 2. I've told you in these meetings, it's not the typical meetings where you see me open the Bible before you do it. As I am making mention of the scriptures, take a mental note and open there. It's a different kind of meeting. Alright? I said that to you. And there came a sound from heaven, verse 2, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were seated. I need to mark verse 2 because we're coming back there in verse 2. And there appeared unto them, verse 3, cloven tongues like as of fire, and sat upon each of them, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit gave them utterance. See the word all, one accord, everybody. Now, some people have argued that everybody there were the apostles. No, that's not true. Because in chapter 2 is a continuation of chapter 1. Okay? Where he said they were all in one place in one accord. He used that in chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. And chapter 2, the last verse. They were all in one place, one accord. And then in chapter 2 was a continuation of that. And don't forget again, when Peter, the Bible says, Peter standing up with the 11. With the 11. That means they were the authorized speakers of the congregation. They said, these men are not drunken as you suppose. That means he's speaking with the 12 and he says, or in 11, says, this man, in other words, he's pointing to the remainder in the church. Who's following what I'm saying here? Come on, let me see your hand. This man are not drunken as you suppose. So let's quickly go over some notes of last week and the weeks before. We said in the Holy Ghost meeting or believers meeting, what is the primary demonstration of the gifts of the Spirit? Utterances. What do I call it again? Utterances. The utterance gifts refers to what? Tongues. Interpretation of tongues and prophesying. Prophecy, sorry. Tongues. Interpretation of tongues, not interpretation of dreams. Amen. I said amen. Tongues and prophecy. Every believer should speak with tongues. What did I say? What did I say? Every believer should speak with tongues. Don't you know what the Bible says? Do all speak with tongues? Answer now. Of course it's no. Because there are some believers that don't want to speak with tongues. Now that's just a joke, but that's just the way I answer that place. And you know, basically, what he was saying in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 30, had nothing to do with precluding you from not speaking with tongues. He was basically saying, are all the gifts of the Spirit tongues? That's what he was saying. Again, it's dangerous to take that out of context, because by the next verse, verse 31, 1 Corinthians 12, he says, you should earnestly covet the best gifts. And we said, what are the best gifts? Talk to me, church. What are the best gifts in the local church? What are the best gifts to the world? Power gifts. So if you build a church or a local assembly on the power gifts, assuming I'm allowed to use that terminology, what you're going to have will be a lot of believers who will be in the senses. Okay? Because the power gifts are meant to be signposts. They are meant to be indicators. Attention grabbers. And I was saying this to a fellow minister of the gospel older than I am, and he's a theologian of many years, and we are doing some studies together. And so we were talking about the charismatic gifts. And so he had a lot of things to say about the charismatic ministry. He's one of the guys that's going to review our book. Amen. He's yet to speak in tongues, but I'm sure he will this year. I'm praying, I'm believing God that he should. Very, very sound theologian. You know, except the charismatic part of him is not sound at all. And then I said something to him, and he said, I can't argue that. I said, I agree with you that the charismatic have excesses. We are the king of excesses in the body of Christ and outside the body of Christ. He said, I agree with you. We have done bad things. I agree with you. We have brought things into church services. Even Balaam didn't think of it. Or Baal. I know we have. I submit to you. But I said one thing. That the charismatic ministry will reach the atheist better than you. He said, I agree. I said, that's the truth. The charismatic ministry will reach the atheist better than you. Now, they may get to the atheist and preach nonsense. But be rest assured that the atheist will pay attention. Because when you see things that science can't explain, you have to pay attention. I mean, somebody's just been diagnosed with a disease, and then you tell the fellow, go and check your body, you are healed. You know, if you're an atheist or a doctor, you start to laugh. Are you mad? This is incurable. And then you go check it, and the guy is healed. He said, no, he's in remission. Come back, or he's in recession. Come back in the next 4 weeks. He comes back, he's healed. He comes back. You know, even if your DNA has Charles Darwin, you will say, something happened. Am I making any sense here? I remember an evangelist, a great man of God, Charlton D. Fawn. He was ministering, and then they said, this atheist said he went to his crusades just to prove him wrong. Just to prove him wrong. And so, he saw people get healed. He felt they're making it up. He felt they're making it up. Then he himself now pretended to be sick of something. And he told the man of God, said, I am sick of so, so, and so. The man of God said, no, that's not the sickness. He looked at him. Yeah, that's not it. You came here to lie. You are actually sick of so, so, and so. Right on. And they had put secret cameras to think that they were faking the miracles. And everything was live. And he said, do you believe Jesus Christ can heal? The guy said, yes. I mean, he has to believe. And right there, he got healed. I didn't say he got saved. So I told my friend, I know we have nonsense around us. We have put God in a bottle before. He's in water. We have used God in food. I know we have sinned. But you also know that we have all it takes to make the necessary noise for people to eventually hear the gospel. I said, so pray for people like us who are charismatic, but we have brain. All right? And God helped us to meet those who have shaped us, sharpened us, bruised us somehow, and to straighten out what we preach and teach. But the point is, the power gift reaches the world. Hallelujah. I was in a crusade one day, and I'm dozing. Young boy, as I saw somebody walk past with his crutches, I said, eh? Somehow the Eutychian spirit and the Jonahic anointing deserted and departed from me. I was like, hey, you know, it's just the way it is. Other things can happen like that. Some people are going to listen to you. There was one of our brethren, we went for a World Changers Conference, 2005, I think. And there was this man. Now, this miracle has to be explained theologically so that we don't get into trouble. But this man wanted to disturb the crusade because we were doing village evangelism. And he was a renowned juju man. If you're not a Nigerian, juju is voodoo. It's not, voodoo is not nice. Juju or jar or something. And he went to the man's house. He said, no. He went to the, not alone with one or two of our brethren then. And he went and he laid hands on the man. And the man couldn't see. Now, he wasn't blind. As I said, we have to explain it well. He couldn't see. So he left the man and went to the village to preach the gospel. How many of you heard that story? You were around church? How many of you were around? Okay, those have been around for 13 years, you know. And the brother did that. Now, if they did that to your chief priest, and he's looking like this, they're likely to listen. Just like the deputy and Elimas the sorcerer. Hallelujah. Just like that. Years ago, we went to a place to preach the gospel. And they told us, there was this man, that the man was not inside the village itself. He was at the outskirts. But they feared him so much that they didn't allow us to even say, can I talk with you? He said, no, you want to? No. That we have to take permission. He was not the king of the town. I said, where is his place? Let me and the brethren, we went. We went to his place. But when we go to his shrine, he put a skull on top. And this was a weakling. Those that do those kind of things, they're just artists. There's nothing spiritual about skull. There's nothing spiritual or red cloth. There's nothing spiritual about that. They are spiritual things. Don't see a red cloth. You wore your red shirt. Yeah. Those are the littlest, their earthly spirit. So, as I got in, I said, where is it? The brethren stood outside anyway. I got inside. The man was burning some incense like that. He didn't understand what I was doing. I jumped over the fire. At that point, it's one or two things. But only one thing will happen. Because I came in the name of the Lord. I laid hands on him right in his hand. He fell down under the power of God. Some people still say, why do you fall under the power of God? I think that's a stupid question. Under the power of God. You said it. Fall under the power of God. Fall under the power of God. Why do people fall under the power of God? Why do people fall under the power of God? Why do people fall? Why did God fall under the power of God? That looks more reasonable, I think. And right there, he's like, pump, under the power of God. And the brethren came in. Began to speak to him. He wasn't speaking Yoruba anyway. So we spoke English. So we spoke to him. He got born again. Spoke in tongues right there. In the shrine. Well, there's nothing called shrine. He was the shrine. The temple of idols. He was that temple. And I'm the temple of God. There's no physical shrine of idols. The shrine of idols are human beings. Is that very clear? That one is deceit. Glory to God. Are you there? Praise the Lord. The least thing you should bother your head with as a Christian is jazz. Jazz? Rubbish. I fear king more than jazz. Because I've been king before and it pains me. But jazz, never. There was someone that said, in my hometown. I said, if he hears your voice, I said, I will give you my air. I'll give you my blood. Give him. Let him use it. I can even give you myself. Come and use it. You can use anything, Lord. So, but really, the power gifts relate to the unsaved man. But you notice that the things of the Spirit are not called power gifts. They are information. That's why Paul would say, the things of the Spirit are foolishness to the natural man. 1 Corinthians 2:14. So, again, what are the best gifts in the church? Utterance. Then the revelation. The power gifts work in the church, don't forget that, because the sick get healed in the church. But the power gifts are for the world. That's why, go observe very well that there was not much mention of the power gifts in the epistles, even though it was working in the church, or through the church, through the world. So, Holy Ghost meetings and believers meetings are meetings where what's dominant. Okay, I was talking about tongues. That Paul now says the best gifts, and the best gifts were the utterance gifts. And chapter 14, verse 1, it says that you desire spiritual things. Just follow after charity, but desire spiritual things. Verse 2, he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men but to God, for no man understands him or understands. Howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Verse 3, he that prophesies speaks to the church with edification, comfort, and exhortation. Verse 4, he that speaks in tongues edifies himself. Verse 5, I said, I will that you speak with tongues, but rather that you may prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interprets that the church may receive edifying. Verse 5. So, and Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23, says, if the whole church come together and all should speak with tongues. Again in verse 26, when you come together, brethren, and each one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done to what? Edify. In other words, Paul in his doctrine has already said that all believers should speak with tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:39. He says, covet to prophesy, forbid not to what? Speak with tongues. So that's exhaustive enough for you not to think I shouldn't speak with tongues. In Mark 16, 17, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. He says, they cast out demons. They speak with what? New tongues. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. See, I speak with new tongues. Because I have faith in Christ. I have faith in Christ. Speaking with tongues is my birthright. By faith. Hallelujah. So we have the utterance gift. The utterance gifts, therefore, are the dominant gifts in believers' meetings. Is that understandable? Right? Yeah. Then we have the revelation gifts. Revelation gifts usually flow from the utterance gift. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, in believers' meetings, we all participate. We all participate. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So, we said the power gifts go to the world. They do. Now, in believers' meetings, the utterance gifts are the predominant, where believers minister. And one of the things that happens in believers' meetings is that, you know, that we come here and we say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Which place? It's like somebody say, let us therefore invite the presence of the Holy Spirit into this church now. And he begins to speak in tongues. That's a confused person. How did you speak in tongues? By the Holy Spirit. Which spirit are you now welcoming? That must be from your hometown. Hallelujah. You came with the Holy Ghost. You are in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is in you. It's a permanent relationship. An eternal union. That is not severed by experiences or in any meeting whatsoever. Are you there? Are you there? Are you good? So, in believers' meetings, we have utterances where tongues and interpretation are given deliberately. So I said deliberately. And I told you, now notice, when Paul says desire the best gifts, he was referring to the utterance gifts. There is no teaching to say desire revelation gifts. Even though we can by faith believe for them, we can by faith believe for the power of gifts. But when it says desire, every time you read desire or covet the things of the Spirit, he was referring to the utterance gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 31. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 14, 39. 1 Corinthians 14, 26. So, always note that. Now pay good attention here. They are deliberately done by us. Amen. Let's speak with tongues. Come on, go ahead and do it. Come on. Speak with tongues. Raise your voice a bit. Amen. Now pause. You know, how many of you know that the keyboard is not the Spirit of God? Let me see, you know, keyboard going, How many of you know that a good, comfortable church atmosphere is not the Spirit of God? Good. How many of you know singing, hallelujah, hallelujah, Holy Spirit, that's not the Spirit of God? Huh? How many of you know singing slow song? You know the Spirit of God? If anything should represent for you the Spirit of God is speaking in tongues. Paul says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue. He that speaks in tongues. Sorry. That's strange. I didn't say that. I've not said that in years. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. He that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands, albeit where? In the spirit. You don't need a keyboard to get a hold of the things of the spirit. You need your tongues. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and talk in tongues. This is more effective than any keyboard playing. Speak in other tongues. Come on. Go ahead and do it. Come on. Now, you can pause. Now, when I say pause, remember we said that Paul says, let him keep quiet and what? Let him speak. So you can keep quiet in the sense of you are not making it loud, but you are quietly talking in tongues. So do that quickly because I'm going to be explaining something to us as we speak. Is that clear? Is that clear? Look at that, Acts 2. Acts 2. So, in a believer's meeting, in a Holy Ghost meeting, utterances are predominant, right? Look at that Acts 2. Something else was there. In verse 2, suddenly, right? There came what? A sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. As of a rushing mighty wind. Now, let me give you an example of that. Have you seen wind before? It's like a sound like this. It's not even a wind. This is just a hair's breadth. But when you hear the wind, that means there was a sound. Hallelujah. What else happened? And it filled what? The house. That means there was a visible demonstration of God's glory. It was visible. Look at 3, it says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. So in a Holy Ghost meeting, utterances, revelation gifts, and then in the power gifts, which also occur, will have physical demonstrations of the glory of God. Physical demonstrations. That was one. You know that they didn't just speak with tongues. Those who were around now said, are they drunk with new wine? And for you to know that was a major issue, Peter said, they are not drunk with wine, as you suppose. For this is but the third hour of the day. That means that there were utterances, there was revelation. Obviously, there were physical demonstrations. Who's following what we're saying here? And that the people acted in unorthodox ways. It's not likely that everybody remained seated throughout. You know, he said they were all in one place in one accord. But I'm not sure that they sat down throughout. I'm not sure that, everybody just stayed in one place. I'm not sure what they called new wine was that they were lifting their hands and singing, holy, holy, holy. I mean, have you seen somebody drunk before? I have. I still see. And there is that physical demonstration of the Holy Ghost to believers that will make people feel or think that the person is drunk. So that means that things in the Holy Ghost meeting, can things actually happen amidst the believers that have a physical demonstration? I'm asking a question. Look at Acts 4, verse 31. This was a prayer meeting. It was a prayer meeting. Let's take it together. Let's read it together. Acts 4, 31. Huh? The place was what? Now, let me ask you a question. The place was what? What does it mean to shake? Huh? There was commotion. Right? Right? Stand up. Let me tell you what it means. Stand up now. It means that, stand up too. It means that, take your Bible because you won't like it to be shaken. It means that, right? Is that shaking together? Can they say they were shaking together and the seats were in the same place? Then what shook? Nothing. Take your seats back. Why are you looking now? So, the place was what? Shaking. That means there were movements in the place. You know, I thought he would say the people shook. Not just the people. He said the place. In other words, within that geographical location was what we can call holy commotion. You know, a typical common sense Christian who all he does is just he reasons everything through. We say, what's the meaning of all this? What's the meaning of all this? That's the meaning. Hallelujah. That's the meaning. It's called Holy Ghost. You know spirit? Unseen. Hallelujah. It's called Holy Ghost. You know, it's very likely that when the place was shaking together, some people were under the power of God. They felt that, right? It's very possible that some people ran around. Right? Because the place was what? Shaking together. So there are physical demonstrations of the glory of God when people gather. Now, you see that it has two major references. Not more, really. There are others I can refer to, but, and I told you the reason is that the best gift amongst believers is what? The utterance gift. So pay attention. So there are physical demonstrations. Now, notice something. That thing that happened in Acts 2, where people heard a sound and it filled the house. And, there was cloven tongues as of fire sat upon each of them. So say, but that one now, it was just God just did it in his own way. That it is the sovereignty of God. Sovereignty of God. That it just happened that at least nobody was laying hands. I'm going to disappoint you now. It's true. Can you recall in the house of Cornelius? Peter was speaking. While he was speaking, the Bible says the Holy Ghost fell. Acts 10:44. On them that heard the word. They now heard them speak with tongues. Peter now said something in Acts 11, verse 16 and 17. He said it was just as it was for us at the beginning. At the beginning. That means that Peter ministered what happened in Acts 10 because he was there. And he was the one ministering as Peter spoke. And it was the same thing that happened in Acts 2. So I said, this is the same thing at the beginning. Now, in Acts chapter 8, the same Peter and John went to Samaria to preach. What did they go there to do? 14, they heard that Samaria had received the word of God. And then the apostles in Jerusalem now sent for Peter and John, who may come down and pray for them that the Holy Ghost might come on them, and they might receive the Holy Ghost, or receive of the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost had fallen on none of them. So, that means laying on of hands can do what happened in Acts 2. Let me see if you understand that. By laying hands. So, laying on of hands can do just the same thing. Because what happened in Acts 2 was what happened in Acts 8. Look at Acts 19, verse 6. This was Paul at Ephesus. Paul at Ephesus. He laid his hands on the 12 men, and what happened? What happened? That means by the laying on of hands, we can minister the things of the Spirit. He laid hands. We have seen two examples. Acts 8, where hands were laid. Verse 14 and 15. In fact, verse 21 and 22 was when Simon the sorcerer said, give me this power, that whosoever I lay my hands upon will also receive the Holy Ghost. So he saw something. He saw it. So that means that when hands are laid, there are things that can be seen. Simon saw it. When the Holy Ghost is in demonstration, there are things that can be seen. You will see it like this. They said they were drunk with wine. They saw it. The Holy Ghost fell. When Peter was speaking, he didn't lay hands there. But look at Paul. Saul of Tarsus. Acts 9, 16 and 17. What happened? Ananias laid hands on him that he might be filled with the Holy Ghost. He laid hands. So there's such a thing as laying on of hands that ministers the things of and that pertain to the Holy Ghost. So say laying on of hands. Say laying on of hands. It ministers, say it ministers the things of that pertain to the Holy Ghost. Let me explain that. Do you know laying on of hands ministers the utterance gifts? Tongues. Interpretation of tongues and prophecy. Acts 19:6. Acts 10. Okay, they didn't lay hands. Acts 9:16. Paul and Ananias. It also ministers the revelation gifts. It does. How? Do you know that as Ananias laid hands on Saul or Paul, the Bible says the scales fell off. Laying on of hands. Laying on of hands also ministers the power gift. The power gift upon healing, miracles, and the gift of faith. So there is a laying on of hands ministry amongst believers. Now, just look at some of these physical demonstrations. Some of these physical demonstrations. A typical Jew understands what they are saying. He does. When this things happen, people can fall flat. I'll demonstrate it for you in a moment. They'll fall flat on the floor. Fall flat. Some people call it slain in the spirit. I don't use those terminologies. Because slain is actually slain. Alright? I don't use those terminologies. Just say they fell down. That's it. Look at Acts 18. When they came for Jesus, Acts 18. When they came for Jesus, I've heard people say, these ones are unbelievers. It's a very funny argument. It's a very funny argument. It's just like saying that, well, everybody that was healed in the days of Jesus, they are unbelievers. So we cannot see those things today. That's a very funny argument. Most people that were healed in the book of Acts were unbelievers. So that's a very, very funny argument. Look at John 18, verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Then they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am. And Judas also stood with them. Can we take verse 6 together? As soon as he had said that unto them, I am, they went backwards and fell to the ground. Hallelujah. They went backwards and fell to the ground. Was that natural? How many of you go to someone and say, I'm looking for Wale? I say, I'm Wale. And then because he said, I'm Wale, a battalion of soldiers now fall down. That's power now. And to know that the power gifts were in demonstration It was in the same account that he took the heir of Malchus and put it back. So power gifts were in demonstration. And we said in the power gifts, the nature is altered, restored, or suspended. Laws of nature are altered, restored, or suspended. So naturally, if you hear somebody say, I am the one, you say, you should respond back. But your legs, without an airplane, without anybody, just find themselves unable to stand. That's power gift. Who's following what I'm saying? Now, look at Saul, Paul, in Acts 9. Acts 9, verse 3. As he journeyed and he came near Damascus, suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Someone say a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth. And heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute me? He fell to the earth. So he was not a Christian now. How does that respond to what we are saying? Did the power of God do it? Did the power of God do it? The Acts 8, the John 18, was it the power of God? Was it the power of God? Okay. This one, is it the power of God? And that's what we are saying. Hallelujah. Can this be ministered by hands being laid? Yes. It can. Now, in the Old Testament, we had such demonstrations, physical demonstrations of the glory of God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, turn there quickly, and I'll show you one more. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. This was when Solomon was dedicating the temple. Chapter 5. Verse 14. I'll start from 13. It came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as to one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And then the house was filled with what? A cloud. Now this is a figure of speech for the physical demonstration of the glory of God. He says it was filled with a cloud. Okay? Even the house of the Lord. Let's take verse 14 together. So that the priest could not stand to minister by the reason of the cloud. Why? For the glory had filled the house of the Lord. A cloud. Do you know that? That's the same cloud John said he heard the voice of God. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. John 1. Look at it. Look at it. John 1. The same. Oh, sorry. It must be Matthew 1 then. Go to Matthew 17 too, because we're going to see the same thing. Matthew 3. Okay, look at John 17. Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verse 5. I'll start from verse 1. At the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew 17. After 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them up into an high mountain apart. And he was transfigured. Watch this. He was transfigured before their very eyes. And his face did shine as the sun. And his raiment was as white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Look at verse 5. While he yet spoke, behold what? What did he call it? A bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud. Look at how Peter describes this in 2 Peter 1. Peter says, verse 17, we receive from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. From the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He calls it His Majesty. So there are physical demonstrations of the glory of God. Now, the reason why some people may have a problem with it is, I told you last week, what they've heard. And you know, we're in a YouTube generation where people will take the things of the Spirit, put it on YouTube and begin to laugh, make fun. In fact, somebody put one Holy Ghost meeting on YouTube and said, this is demons. And I asked him, why are they demons? So how can somebody be laughing uncontrollably? I said, is that the demon there? That somebody is laughing continually. How is that demonic? I said, is it wrong to laugh? He said, no. Did you laugh at this video? He said, yes. So who is demonic? No. It's just the idea you have. The thinking. Does it mean that, you know, when we're in a meeting like that, everybody will fall under the power of God? No. Some will, some will. But if it happens to anyone, it doesn't make it less of God. It's of God. Because they are physical demonstrations of the glory of God in meetings. I know you have seen, you've seen appearances in meetings before. Let me see your hand. Raise your hand now. You've seen it before. You've been in meetings and you saw things. Why? It's the glory of God. A physical demonstration. So in believers' meetings, we see things like that too. We see them happen. I've been in meetings like that, and I'm watching the preacher like this, and I saw physically fire in the Spirit come out of his mouth, and people around me were making noise. Just like Peter, James, and John were sleeping. You know, the fact that somebody is making noise doesn't make anything. When the power of God was present to heal in Luke 5:17, it was his critics that were there. When he healed the sick in Matthew 12, they called it demons. So people's reactions doesn't make it any less true. No. Somebody told me one day, if the power of God is so great, how come the cameraman did not fall? Because he did not want to. But we have seen places where the cameraman fell. Hallelujah. We have seen where the cameraman fell. We have seen where they did. How come the usher did not? Those are stupid questions. Don't answer such questions. Just tell them, no problem. Remain standing. All those things are not worth argument. Hallelujah. But the truth is, are there physical demonstrations of the glory of God when saints gather? Could it happen that saints will gather and the place will scatter? That's like a rhyme. They gather and the place will scatter. Can we have commotion? Can we? And can people fall under the power of God? Is it the power of God? Hallelujah. Say, I'm no stranger, or neither am I critical of the power of God. In believers' meetings, I walk in the utterance gates towards the revelation gates. And also, I welcome the power gate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if you have read how the shadow of a man, Peter, will heal the sick, that means things can happen in spaces. In spaces. In spaces. In places. In spaces. It can happen in spaces. Sometimes it's because a person carries maybe the gift of healing at that particular time for people. And wherever he is, physically, people get healed. Look at Mark 5. Jesus was going towards Jairus' house. Many people were touching his clothes. Some were joking. Some probably were mocking him. But one woman did. And power went into her body and healed her. So the fact that Mr. A does not have the experience of Mr. B doesn't mean Mr. A's experience or Mr. B's experience is not legitimate. Who's following what I'm saying here? But you know what? We'll be like the Acts of the Apostles Church. They were all, hallelujah. They were all in one accord. Say we are in one accord. Say we are in one accord. And so there's such a thing as the physical demonstrations of the power of God and of the glory of God. Of the power of God and of the glory of God in meetings, in meetings, in meetings, in meetings, in meetings, in meetings. You know, sometimes the power of God can be so strong in places. Now, when I was younger, I just used to love the fact that people will fall under the power of God and then there will be utterances and so on and so forth. But in growing up now, I found out that we can actually, as that happens, have the sick get healed. And other things can happen. I discovered that, you know, in such instances, how many of you have fallen down before and you seem to see visions? I have. In fact, there was a time in 93, that I practically was carried and I was seeing visions for about 6 hours. There was even one guy like that, his name was Darry. It was the old day. And it was just by laying on of hands. If you haven't seen things like that before, where have you been? You haven't heard of anything close to that. Where have you been? What have you been doing? Amen? This is the house of God. Hallelujah. And if the glory of God in physical demonstration caused that in the book, in Old Testament, the Spirit of God prevails today. The Spirit of God works in us today. Hallelujah. 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 You know, sometimes you just release your faith and say, well, today I will welcome, enjoy, and participate in the physical demonstrations of the glory of God. You know, initially I thought I was going to lay hands, but I have a strong urge not to. If I lay hands, it's almost a given that we'll see it happen, but I'm not going to. I want us to see how we... Remember one day we're having a Holy Ghost meeting, myself and my friends. Usually we pick somebody to coordinate. You know, as we began. In fact, I remember one. I don't know how you were there. 98 WCC. That must have been the last session. And I was supposed to just share. And right there, in the meeting, there was just like this cloud. Remember that meeting? And all my friends, we're all ministers. They're just under the power of God. I couldn't say anything. There are some physical demonstrations. Let me share one. You remember one day at Indy Hall, we were talking. I was going to tell her something. She just said to me, I can't hear anything you are saying. I can't hear anything you are saying. It was the glory of God. You know what? God didn't want me to tell her. Remember that day? She still didn't know what I said. Hallelujah. There was one meeting like that we held. I called all of them to a room. I told them the same things. I told them later, what did I tell you? Nobody remembered there was a meeting. She doesn't know she was there. She didn't know the meeting. They all didn't know. There are some things that happen like that spectacularly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they can happen. They can. They should. Praise God. Because we are the house of His glory. We are the house of His... Say, we are the house of His glory. Say, we are the house of His glory. Say, we are the house of His glory. We are the house of His glory. Put your Bible down. Amen. Hallelujah. You need to know how to respond. You know, we talked about the first responder. Right? The first responder. Who is the first responder? The person who will start out in a Holy Ghost meeting. Usually the first person that will rejoice or give tongue and interpretation. Somebody usually starts. The first responder. The first responder. You know, we can have the glory of God in physical demonstration. Physical demonstration. Sometimes it's in the area you are in. I've learned many times in meetings to meet some people where they are. I'll just say, let me go to because this one came to watch. Me, I don't go to church meetings to watch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the glory of God is in demonstration here. As a church, in one accord, we walk in all of it. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Yep, we walk in all of it. Glory. We walk in all of it. We walk in all of it.